Here are some snippets of last week's episode.
Yeah, anyway, let's move on to the big game. The quick review, predictions, Arsenal against Liverpool.
Arsenal home, I think, without Salah in the team, I think we can make this one.
I think if Trent starts, we will win the game.
I think Trent starts.
It's tough. So that's why I'm thinking I'll take a draw. And I'm pretty confident that we won't lose, actually.
I think we won't lose. I'm calling it 0-0, actually.
And now, on to this week's episode.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of FPL Copy Talks, where three gentlemen do whatever it takes, including the risk of facing friendly banter in a bad game week. Just to share what we love, Fantasy Premier League. I'm Anwar, the FPL casual.
I'm ABK, the Arsenal loyalist.
And I'm Lukman, the sensible one.
North London forever. Whatever the weather.
Insufferable.
Guys, one of the liberties I'm gonna take this week as an audio editor. Is that I'm gonna edit in some bits of last week's pod. Just stay tuned to when you hear the pod. I'll be clipping some of the things that you guys said at the start of the pod.
Wow, so much. Hey guys, let's just stick to Premier League, Fantasy Premier League this week. I think we need to stick to our bread and butter, to our niche.
Sorry guys, today will be the day I'll be insufferable. You see,
I don't usually stutter at the intro, right? This week, I'm not really looking forward to it.
shall we just crack on, guys, and we can get to it. But before we start, don't forget to follow FPL Copy Talks on IG, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, and X.
Yes, guys, and we're waking up early in the morning once again at 5 a.m. So if you're listening to this, don't forget to like, subscribe to our channel on Spotify and give us a 5-star rating.
Also, if you haven't, do join our Telegram group where we're running our FPL Prize League. I'm really looking forward to today's pod, and without further ado, grab your beverage of choice. This is episode 105, Hakuna Matata. Let's get
what
into it.
What a wonderful
it.
Day.
Boss, copy all set to boss.
You're listening to FPL Copy Talks.
It's Freddie Young back again. Push out by Bartlett. Wilson!
Right here. Right now.
Tall Grande Venti, where we put our purely biased, highly opinionated ratings of this game week. Who wants to start?
I think it's me, you know. I think I got like 48 points.
But your rating might be higher.
Probably the highest. Let's go.
Yeah,
let's
so I'll just start because I want get on with it quickly so that I can talk about the Arsenal Liverpool game.
I think not worth brewing. I think we're talking that in the roast.
Yeah.
Okay, so 48 points this week. I didn't do any transfers. I was kind of rolling to get Haaland into my team. So, not getting Haaland into my team, it's an okay move. I think he just got one assist, so he didn't punish me so badly. I got 48 points. I think what killed me was not having Watkins in my team. I transferred him last week for Tony, and then I think didn't get the Watkins points. I think that's the thing that kind of set me back this week. Yeah, so 48 points. I set up in a 3-5-2. I think one positive thing that I can say is that the decision to bench TAA, although it was against what was advised to me, it was still a good thing, but it's only 1 point. It's nothing much. So anyway, 3-5-2, Dubravka in goal, Trippier, Gusto, Pedro Porro in my defense. Sterling, Gordon, Palmer, Saka. I got my captain, De Bruyne, with one assist. Up front, I got Tony and Alvarez. I'll just stay tuned to what I'll do when we speak about my teams. I think I'll talk about how I'm going to get Haaland in for the next week.
All right.
Yeah, so anyway, overall rank dropped pretty bad. I think it was around 800,000. Now it's about 1.2, close to 1.3 million. Yeah, so
right.
I think Lukman had the opposite game week for me. A really good one. Yeah. But maybe, I don't know who's going to talk
next. What's your rating? Come on, bro. Oh, come on, rating, bro. Rating. Come on, bro.
So, I'll give it an 8 out of 10. Yeah. So, although the FPL part of it was not so great, the Arsenal result was really, really good. Yeah. So, moving on.
Kudos. Kudos to you.
Kudos.
Okay,
kudos.
I guess I'm next. 67 points for me. Pretty decent week. Not too bad. I think just above the average point, but still red arrows all around. I've got Ariola in goal, Pedro Porro, Guehi, Trippier. With Trippier returning 9 points this week. In midfield, I have Luis Diaz, surprisingly, with 5 points. Okay, not surprisingly, like he got the assist on the goal against Gabriel Nutmeg. And then Saka, Bowen, Neto, Palmer, Watkins, and Haaland up front. So, yeah, pretty decent week all around. I got 0 pointers on my bench. Not the best result. I wrote my transfer as well. Not the best result. And I think this week I finally get to have a bit of space, breathing space to move out one of my defenders lah. So I think pretty decent outcome considering that I rolled the transfer last week. All around, I think given the results, we still top of the league. So give myself 5.8 out of 10, man.
All right. My turn. So to basically I have monster week. 94 points I ended up with. My two free transfers. I made my two free transfers. I bought Alvarez for Haaland. And I wanted to sell Richarlison for Gordon, right? But that was I didn't process the Bowen blank that morning when we bought it, right? So I thought when Bowen blank 3-4 times in a row, I think. So I thought I would sell Bowen instead, which was crazy, the swing of Richarlison's 15 points. And yeah, so 94 points. So my team is Dubravka, Alejandro Moreno with 14 points, Estupinian, Trent, Jota, Gordon, Richarlison, Foden, Pedro, Captain Haaland, and Watkins. So my bench is Areola, Gusto, McAtee, and Bell. So my ratings, I know Liverpool lost, but as Anwar said, we are still top. So my rating is quite decent. So maybe around 6.8 out of 10 will be my almost venti lah.
That's a good eyes on the fire. A quick one, Lukman. I just want to know, like, what's your second chance rating, overall rating?
Second chance, huh?
Mine second chance, move a lot. Now I'm 1.8 million.
I'm on 3.4 million. I've been having such a bad second half of the...
104K.
Wow.
I guess, waiting to wildcard your team later in the season can help you swing a bit in the second half.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, shall we move on? So the next segment is Brew of the Week. In this segment, we discuss teams that have basically performed very well this game week. So I think there's only one place to start. The big game, big win,
Wolves,
scoring three goals at home is Manchester United, bro, versus West Ham. So you want to just start with the big game?
Come on, man.
You didn't even sound like you want to talk about it.
I'm giving AVK the platform, bro. It's your platform.
Give the listeners what they want. Okay, so let me give you a summary for those people who didn't watch the game. Let me give you a summary of what happened in the game.
The United game. You watched the United game? No. How was it, man? I'm surprised you sound so excited to talk about the United game.
Yeah, Arsenal Liverpool. Just to be clear. Yeah.
All right.
So first half, we slapped.
I think everyone watched the game. Thank you for the quick summary.
There are a few people. I think it's a late game. So we need to give a good summary of it.
Wait, but just before that, right? Before you start, right? On the lineup itself, we will never know if Klopp would have picked Bradley if his dad didn't pass away. We will never know that, right?
Fair.
Okay, carry on.
So, like, our conclusion, like, our disagreement we had in the previous game, like, I think it's nullified. Like, we cannot say who won in this argument.
Because Trent got won by Martinelli.
Yeah. So, first half, we slapped around Liverpool. Easy. easy first half for us. We slapped them around. Last spot, Lukman was saying about how TAA was a centerpiece to the Liverpool team. How he's integral to the how the team plays. But I saw how Martinelli just easily glide past Smart TAA. This is your centerpiece of the Liverpool team. I wasn't sure whether it was TAA or was it whether it was Paul Konchesky that he was playing against.
Disrespect to Paul Konchesky.
At the end of the first half, we gave y'all some chance, because we was a bit bored, we were dominating the game too much, so we kind of just gave one goal away, just make it more interesting, because if not, then it was just gonna be us dominating the game. So second half starts, and then I will admit, Liverpool had some decent plays. It was some decent.
We didn't get into the game at all, man.
Get into the game a bit. Yeah.
We didn't.
Yeah.
At the start of the second half,
I think you all did.
15 minutes.
There were some shots taken on Raya's goal. Darwin came on. I expected the goalpost to be rattled a bit. But the only rattling that I saw was by Van Dijk and Alisson. they were rattled by the presence of Martinelli up front. We got a winner. And then
So with all the domination, we still had to give you the winner, basically.
What happened was that Konate had trouble all the time, the whole game.
But you guys needed our help to score the winner, the second goal. Without our help, do you think you all would have scored? No, I'm not serious.
The thing is that equalizer and the winner was the same thing. So I would say it's cancelled out. It's both mistakes by the defense.
But Saliba always make mistakes. Van Dijk doesn't.
Okay, wait. To be fair, I think what Liverpool didn't anticipate was the aggression that Arsenal came in. So I think at the first 10 minutes, they really pressed up front really well. And I think Havertz played a crucial role in that CF role, dropping back quite a bit into the spaces, causing a bit of trouble. And I think we all know the game plan from the start was to exploit Trent on the right side, because that's where they were doing. And Martinelli did a good job in controlling the ball and getting the ball forward. The final product, not really there, except for the goal which landed on his feet. But my question to you, ABK, is, we've not seen this Arsenal playing at this kind of intensity. My question is that, is this just a one-off game, riled up by the potential of, beating the champions? Or you think this is something consistently...
Champions?
not champions, potential champion, top of the table crash. Yeah. So what I'm saying is that, do you see this moving forward? Because I know they played at Emirates and the crowd did their best to be as loud as possible, but we still hear ale, 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 sometimes drowning out the crowd. But what's your take on that? I was surprised as well at the intensity that Arsenal came in at the start of the game.
Yeah, so I would say that it's not something that's one off, because I think we had similar performances in terms of how we played in the FA Cup game, in the game against City, right? And I would say in a lot of the big games this season, so I think in that sense I think Arsenal has improved a lot in terms of how they approach big games, because I don't know whether you guys can remember the Arsenal from the season's back, every time they have a big game, they'll crumble. Almost all the big games, they'll lose. Right, so now the issue here is not so much of whether they can keep up this performance, but then it's whether they can also convincingly win teams when teams are at a low block. I think that's the issue that Arsenal has at the moment. I think with lesser teams, I'm quite happy with how the teams progress in terms of how we approach big games. We've won City this season. We've won Liverpool this season.
Do it one more time.
Sorry?
Do it one more time. Do us a favor. Beat City again.
Yeah, and then what we need in terms of getting us into the title challenging kind of area is for us to have consistency in beating mid-table teams where the teams will usually play a low block against us. I think that's the difficulty that we have, and I think that's something that we need to improve on this season. Yeah, I think it's like realistically speaking, there's still lots that Arsenal need to improve on. But I think
cutting
like,
edge.
Yeah, like yeah, exactly. The cutting edge. So like we've had so many chances. Mm. Like I think at the start of the game when Martinelli just sprinted at the left hand side, played one ball in. Saka should have scored the goal, and that didn't go in. I think there were a lot of chances that had to go in. I think they have to be more clinical in scoring the goals.
But I think from as a Liverpool fan, the lineup. I mean, Darwin had some niggle. Szoboszlai also had some niggle. He was out. Gakpo and Gravenberg, I think they didn't have the kind of rhythm and tempo in the press that we usually.
Who we have played instead?
No. I'm just saying that the circumstances. I was quite surprised that Gravenberg was very passive in terms of like the pressing. So he was one of he was on the right side of midfield. He didn't help the situation.
I want to ask you, so Trent, right, he didn't invert, right? He was playing basically like right winger, then Big Joe inverted. Why do you think he did that? What do you mean when he was forced to go up? Because he could have inverted, as usual.
It was very clear that they were exploiting the right side of the midfield. Saka didn't have much of the ball. Every time Raya had the ball, his first look was to ping it to the right side, to the left side of the field. So I think naturally Trent would drop back. But talking about inversion and Joe Gomez, he did pretty well at that inverted role. I thought
not
he
really
did
la.
Well picking up. But he did. You watch back.
If Trent inverted, we might have more control of the midfield because we got own in the midfield, man. With everyone. Maybe with Trent, right, we would have more control. Jorginho wouldn't have like bossed it. So I felt like he should have inverted.
No lah. Actually, so? I give it to Arteta lah. I mean, setting Havertz up front, right. What essentially it is, right? Havertz did an excellent job dropping into the holes in the midfield. So the midfield had a bit of a problem, like deciding, especially Gravenberg. Like Gravenberg is really off the pace, so he doesn't know who to press. So what happens was that when he drops back, Gravenberg drops to cover him, and then the right sided attacker, who was it in that game? Was it Jota, or was it Gakpo? I think Gakpo was more on the right side. So Gakpo also came in tight, and then. Yeah, just leaving one man free. I think a couple of times in the first half, you saw Havertz coming into the pocket between Konate and Van Dijk and got the ball quite easily. So I think that was something that we didn't anticipate.
Havertz did well,
It was quite an interesting setup actually. I mean, not only in Havertz but also playing Jorginho, playing with Jorginho together with Rice in the midfield. If you watch the analysis of the first goal, it was kind of brilliant how they exploited the space, especially with Havertz dropping deep. The way they move the ball and the way they move themselves, right, to make space, right. In the end, it was like Liverpool pressed everyone, and then in the process of pressing everyone, they leave spaces at the back, you know, for Havertz to run into. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. I think it was. I gotta give it to Arteta where the credit is due. Yeah.
But just one note on Arteta though. He needs to decide whether he wants to be the calm and composed Pep or the happy and excited Guardiola. Klopp lah. Yeah. I mean, that game he was just a bit weird. I don't know. Just a bit weird seeing his reactions on the side. Man, but I guess it means a lot to him. Yeah.
Yep. So let's talk about Liverpool. I guess doubling 25 as expected. So let's talk about assets. What are you thinking, man? Like, for your teams and also for the like top three assets for Liverpool. What's on ABK first?
Yeah, so I already have TAA in my team. I'm gonna stick with having him in my team. For 25, the problem is that I'm looking at 26. 26 is the issue for me because they are blanking in 26, right? And because I have like three Chelsea players and one Spurs player, I might not have the ability to bring in Liverpool players for 25. And I don't think I want to take many hits. Take many hits to do it. So I would think at most I'll get one more Liverpool midfielder. I would think Jota. Jota would be my pick. But I'm not sure whether I can afford it. Yeah, that's the issue. Yeah, so I just have to play around my team a bit just to kind of see.
And if you can get it now in 24, they're Burnley at home. That's a prime fixture. So yeah, Anu, what do you think?
Yeah, I have Lucho and Diaz, and I probably stick to these two.
So Lucho and Diaz, the same player.
Lucho and Darwin. Yeah. Lucho and Darwin. So I probably just stick to these two for the moment. I don't think I'll be moving Simicast. I probably move Simicast out, but probably for someone else.
Okay.
What do you think of bringing in Trent now? Yeah. Are you going to ask for Trent? No. Okay, so those who don't have Trent, right? For those who don't have Trent, right, what do you think of bringing him in for the double or even for now? So the first thing is, right, his sub, right, was pre-planned. So he wasn't fully fit. So that's one thing to take note, I also don't know whether I would bring in Trent. I think it's a bit iffy, and because it's too expensive, right? If you don't have Trent, like Anua, so maybe I would. But if you bring in like who else, right? If you want like a triple up, who will you bring up? Let's say you have two already, like a defender.
Joe Gomez.
You think Big Joe will be nil?
Konate.
Yes, he will. Konate
is suspended for one game only, you know.
Yes, yeah, so he will be back in the double. Sure. Maybe in the double, maybe Konate is a better bet. Because he will be back. He'll have his rest ready. I mean, Van Dijk is an obvious one, but he's quite expensive.
I think Robertson is knocking on the door on the return or so. So
on Big Joe,
Could be no place for Joe Gomez.
But I don't know. Looking at his form, he might be rewarded. I think compared to Konate, he could start. If he shows he can start in the centre of defence the next game, and play well there, that he might keep his spot in the next two games. But again, we have two games, so there might be some rotation risk.
So I guess Van Dijk, if you want. Right, Van Dijk or Trent.
Correct. Depending on your price point, if you want to bring someone in and then with the wild card in mind, then I think Joe Gomez is a decent
I think Konate for the double is good because he already have his rest. I think he rested one game also before, but now I think when he has one game rest against Burnley, right, I think he's pretty nailed for the double. That's my take. If you want to get a cheap defender from Liverpool for the double, but just take note, they blank in 26.
One thing on us, Lukman.
Yeah.
So yes, I'm in a position where I have I only have two City players, right? And then I'm in a position where maybe I'm thinking of getting Jota in. But should I get Foden in instead of Jota? What do you think? Do you think Foden will be a better asset? Because Foden plays
25,
right? And then it doubles in 25 and plays in 26.
It depends on the transfers, I guess. Because who's your triple? You have are you going to say Alvarez?
Yeah, it's Alvarez for Haaland. That would leave me to...
Foden over Jota.
Foden
is pretty nil. If you like... If you take nothing in context, I think Foden better than Jota.
Moving on to our next brew, I think Foden with the hat trick. What do you guys think of that performance, man?
Okay, if you watch the game, I own Foden and Haaland, right? I think I got the right side of the variance. I think if you watch the game, right, like for EBK had KDB and Alvarez. Alvarez could easily have a hat trick in that game, in my opinion. He was basically in the same space where Foden was. It could have easily fallen to him. So it's a variance thing. That's why I think Alvarez, right, is a good pick. That's why I might even bring him back for the double. Because looking at the way he's been playing every game, right? So if he starts the next game, right, in 24, I think he's still a good pick. And he could have easily helped. KDB looked good also. I mean, relatively good. Not his best game, but I thought he looked good. And he looked someone that I want to buy. So I want to buy everyone. I think everyone is a good pick. Except for Bilva, I guess.
Really? I look at his minutes, is pretty decent, actually.
Yeah, but I mean the explosiveness, I guess.
Yeah, I think in terms of returns. But I mean, for 6.5 million, you are getting maybe some value, I suppose.
Alvarez is good, man.
For a bit Alvarez more, Foden. Okay, I cannot decide. Lukman called Palmer, and then Palmer return. Lukman called Foden return. Can't decide.
Call who?
I mean, you basically called for Palmer at the start of the first half of the season.
I got a lot of players. I think your picks have been Anwar's picks have been more like on your transfers, actually. But I think when your Neto pick, right, you could have just gone with Richarlison or Foden, right? Maybe.
Anyway.
But anyway, anyway Foden is good.
That being said, yeah, Foden is good. I'm also thinking if I should bring him in for the double for Bowen, right? Because I don't know, like De Bruyne, he's coming back in form, but a bit too pricey. Like, I think I've been priced out already. He's at 10.8 now, and I think like the funds, I don't have enough funds to move around. I could lah, but I don't know whether it's worth the haul versus like value per point, point per million. In terms of returns,
Foden, if you can't afford Foden, is a good. Anyway, ABK, when I think Alvarez is a good pick, right? Can't you just keep him and like sell Alvarez? Sell Archer, is it, for Haaland and then play around with the money? Because I think Alvarez,
I don't have money.
He could easily score, yeah.
Okay.
So Alvarez played off the. He was pretty central, He had so many shots. He had 5 shots, and his stats and his eye test was good. But anyway, yeah. Continue. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, we still at Rose of Brew and Rose of the Week, right? So, we talk about more of City assets in the next one. But I just want to give credit where credit's due. United's game against West Ham, I didn't expect the 3-0 scoreline, man. I didn't expect the 3-0 scoreline, and I think this is like what the third or fourth game running that Hoyland returned, and Garnacho with 2 goals. I think it looks like United benefited from that long break. Somehow they came back a bit more inspired, a bit more
invigorated.
Organized and integrated.
All their players are back. All their players are back, right?
Yeah, there's this, I know, Lisandro Martinez got injured again. Yeah. So I think that's quite unfortunate for the, if you're thinking of getting Man U's defense. But there's this one photo that I really like from the game against West Ham. I think Garnacho was doing the Ronaldo celebration where he's sitting down on the advertisement board.
Yeah.
So he was seated down with Mainu and Hoyland on the advertisement board. I think they took a picture from the back. Right? I think it was a very nice photo for me because like it shows like Man U's direction. I think they are going to build, as in not say that photo is representative or anything, but it was a nice imagery of these 3 players. I think these are the 3 young players that Man U have that I think they should be building their team around. Hoyland, Garnacho, and Kobbie Mainoo. I think these 3 decent players. Right. It was a nice photo to see. And I think if Ten Hag continues to build the team around this tree, I think we'll see a lot of positive things coming from Manu.
All right.
I mean, Rashford was a bit wasteful that game, but I think Rashford was a bit wasteful that game, but I think he's coming back to some form like we've seen in the past season. So it looks like an uprise there. Something to look forward to in terms of assets from United maybe moving forward.
Yeah. Just to preface, I think I'm thinking of getting Garnacho in my team. I think Garnacho for 4.9 million, I think it's a really good enabler
good value,
for me to.
Yeah.
For me to move around.
Especially if you want to do like a 3-5-2 to 4-4-2 option as well. I think that enables.
Let's move on. Let's one quickly more? Talk about Cunha. So, two quick ones. Cunha, so hat-trick, 7 goals and 5 assists in the last 12 games and outscoring every other FPL forward except Solanke from game week 12. So he's returning 18.8 points per million. Best value forward in FPL. He's at 5.7 million. So yeah, and also let's talk about Watkins, the main guy. I mean, how many points did he get? I think 18 points. So 3 goals, sorry, 3 assists and 1 goal. So basically, a lot of people sold Watkins for Haaland also. So a lot of them got punished. Because Solanke had a better fixture. That's why they saw Watkins instead. But the brutal swing for those who saw Watkins. And he basically is he has the highest attacking returns in the season. So he has 22 attacking returns. Haaland and Salah is 20 only. So yeah. So basically,
I mean, we have to take note that Haaland and Salah they were out for long periods. Watkins literally played every game. I think he hasn't missed a single game.
Yeah. Correct.
But I think that's why monster. That's what you're supposed to. I think that's what sometimes you have to look at when you look at FPL assets. You cannot just look at the points per 90, right? Because the points per 90 doesn't show how many games they miss, you know. What you really want from an FPL asset is a FPL asset you can rely on. You can play week in, week out. You get your points like basically an honest worker. So I think Watkins like fitness, fitness is a very important thing in FPL assets. I think that's a very underrated thing about FPL assets, because like when you have player that's fit, you don't is a player that you don't have to think about having to move, you know. Yeah, so yeah. Fitness is a very good thing.
Speaking of fitness, right?
Juan coming back in as well. So yeah. You see how that changed the dynamic of the Wolves team. And this Wolves team like a bit hot and cold as well. So 1 week they weren't performing. But then again, this Chelsea team was just atrocious, man.
Yeah. So we start with Rose.
Okay, so Rose of the week.
A quick one on Watkins, right? Just a quick one on Watkins. Just a quick one before we go to Rose. I think this was a game where Fodringham started, and I think Chris Wilder really looking to chip him out, lah. I think he was just bad, lah. I don't know. He's not even Premier League standard, so I don't know what to take. I mean, he hauled, but this was like a relatively easy opponent. So I don't know if like the transfers that those that made it could be the right decision, lah. So Lanky could return the next few games.
I don't know. I thought it was the end of Fodringham, actually. I don't know what
the other goalkeeper had a concussion, lah. Yeah, the concussion. So yeah, 4 goals in 30 minutes, just bad, lah. That's the start of my segue into the Rose of the Week. Let's go.
Yeah, so Rose of the Week are basically the players and teams that we will discuss that basically had a bad week. So I want to start with Newcastle. So worst XGC amongst all teams in the last 5 games, and like against home to Luton, right, considering 2+ XG, man, that is pretty bad, in my opinion. So yeah, talk about your Trippier. I mean, Trippier got 9 points, but on another day he could have gotten 0 points, lah. I mean, you can't concede so much against Luton away. Luton at home against, like, you know, 4-4, right? It was a crazy game, but yeah, I think Dan Burn got the most of the criticism from getting owned by Ogbeni. But yeah, I think Newcastle, something to take note, if you want to buy Trippier or if you are holding on to Newcastle defensive assets.
But I would say Luton has been posting pretty decent results.
I agree with you.
They are. But still, Newcastle at home.
Start of the year. Newcastle at home. Like, I think we have to give some credit to Luton also for the performance.
I think
for Luton, right, their home games are the one that help them with the momentum.
Yeah.
Like we've been saying, like their home games have been quite a difficult game to play. I think it's just
something you caught, right? At first I didn't agree, lah, because I thought Luton was a shit team, but I'm starting to agree with you, lah, that they're the home
because
team.
Luton is at a position where I thought Burnley would have been, but Burnley has just been bad, man. Coming into the season, Burnley, company, top of the table, playing beautiful football and all this, they just fizzled out, lah. And I think like momentum is really important for most of these relegation battlers.
And I think you already put in the key word here, momentum. So with the home games that they won or draw, right, against some of them against big teams, I think it gives them like the mental edge when they go away and say like, hey, if we can beat like Chelsea, we can beat like big, or we can put out a fight against big teams in home games, why not do it for the away as well? So I think it's a mentality thing that gives momentum. So I think, credits to Luton.
Yeah, wait. Sorry, I won't go on Luton. You want to finish on Newcastle first?
No. I think Newcastle, there's nothing much to be said. I mean, Gordon is
still a fine pick. If he's fit, if he's back fit, he was in a protective boot. Harvey Barnes is back. He looked good also in the cameo, but I think Newcastle,
especially with Isak, I think Isak is a striker. There are a lot of other striking options that are cheaper and like have like doubles or whatever. I think like there are other options available for Newcastle. So I think that there's nothing much else to say about Newcastle.
Okay, so looking on Luton, right, if you are planning to buy your Ross Barkley or your Adebayo, just be careful that they blank in 26. So. If you think about it, right, you buy them for 25, they have the same number of games between 25 and 26. So just something to take note.
Just a quick one. Like, I mean, if you're looking at Luton for value, I think Garnacho is a better value, lah, at this point in time, at the price point. So we don't have to go down the table just to get value, lah. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. This Chelsea team, and talking about momentum, right, I think Chelsea is on a downward momentum, lah. So, I mean, you have your Gustos, seems like a pretty decent pick, but he was just bad that game. I don't know, like, at this point in time, I don't think any Chelsea asset is worth any.
How about Cole?
Except for Cole Palmer.
Because he's on penalties.
Because of his own penalties, and he's also scoring goals. I mean, even open play. So I think for the value, especially if you bought him at like 5.1 or whatever, just keep him with him, I think, Cole Palmer.
But he's expendable, in my opinion. If he's blanking in 29 too, right, he has Man City, then blank, and then two games, and then blank again. So I think he's expendable. If but then again,
but
you can't get much money from him, right?
Yeah, but I don't know. You sell it, I think.
I think he's still cheap enough to buy back.
He's cheap enough to buy back in 30 lah.
Yeah, quick one. I mean, if you had Palmer because of his momentum, because of his form, right, and then you're looking to ship for another one. I think Garnacho is a pretty like solid 5.something to 4.9. I think it's a good move, lah.
I think 4.9 now, Garnacho.
Yeah. I mean, if that's I have Palmer as Palmer and Neto is my like midfield rotation options. So if I were to move out, I kind of like Neto at the moment. So if I were to move out of Palmer, probably to Garnacho, lah. So that's where I would probably move out of Palmer.
Yeah. Okay, so I have Sterling in my team. So Sterling is a go for me.
Sterling got to go.
Goodbye.
He's got to go, yeah.
Goodbye, my lover.
One more rose is Estupinian owners like myself. Lamptey started ahead of him, which was weird because their right wing back, right, Hinselwood. He's basically a DM, but he played right wing back. So I thought like Lamptey could have played right wing back and then Estupinian could have played left wing back, right? But yeah, I think if you own Estupinian now, right, it's a bit dicey, like, I feel like. Lamptey played well, and then like Mitoma, because Lamptey's position was pretty advanced. If you look at the average position, right, I think Mitoma could play that position too. He's back in the next game week. Adingra is back also. I'm a Yao Pedro, no, so I think that's a worry for me. So Pedro and Estupinian, it's a no buy situation, but if you have, I don't mind selling Estupinian too. I think, I don't know, man. He's just not nailed, and yeah, it's a bit dicey. Yeah. So yeah, that's something
to know. And on top of that, Brighton defense, like they were lucky not to concede. I mean, Izzy and Olise is out, right? So I think they were lucky not to concede more, lah. But their defense has been the key.
Okay. I think that's it. Shall we end part one? Let's move on to part two. But before that, don't forget to follow us on all our socials. And if you guys haven't, just join our Telegram also. And all our social links are embedded in our episode description.
Yep, we'll be talking more about Fantasy Premier League assets in the next segment. So you've listened to our views and the games that have been played this week. And we've discussed a bit of assets here as well, but we'll deep dive into that in the next episode. So stay tuned to the next episode to find out. Once again, we appreciate all your support. And remember to give us any feedback if you have any.
We'll be back for part two. See you. We're FPL Kopi Talks. Signing out.
You're listening to FPL Kopi Talks. Right here. Right now.